Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Margwitz, and I'm talking today with Joel Elkanen, host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. It's a market research firm and also premarketprep.com. Joel, it's always great to get you on the show and get your thoughts on the markets and the moves that we're seeing. And it's been quite a week already, quite a last week actually too. And it seems to be that there's a lot of turbulence somewhere on a teeter-totter between the Fed and the rate hiking expectations on one side, and on the other side of the teeter-totter, the geopolitical concerns with Ukraine and Russia. Which do you think is actually driving the markets more? Because we're hearing both used as an excuse, but what do you think the real driver is?
Hey, Shad, thanks for having me. And you don't even need me. You got everything figured out. Maybe you had those notions before we spoke, but as you know, I was off last week. And, you know, I like to look at things from a fundamental perspective. You know, I love my technical analysis, but, you know, you cannot ignore geopolitical factors. And, you know, the market was ripe. We were sitting up, you know, near all-time highs before I left. We'd come off a little bit. They'd taken the value stocks out to the woodshed and beat them, and they started to move in on the big tech, right? And, you know, so it was teetering a little bit. And then, you know, you get rumblings of tensions in, you know, between the U.S. and Russia. I mean, that's something that you never want to hear. What's exactly going to happen? What steps the United States going to take? How far is Russia going to go? Those are all unknowns. The market doesn't like unknowns. So, you know, not signing into my trading platforms last week, just observing everything on Twitter and, you know, the other news feeds, I'm like, this is not good, right? And that's what they did to the market. Now, yesterday, you know, the rhetoric, you know, Homeland Security said be aware of cyber attacks. And actually, well, that time that they made that statement is when the market actually went down and made its low for the day. So, you know, news-driven headline market, big sell-off on a Monday, a Friday, you know, a bad day on Friday, follow-through on Monday. And then you kind of get, you know, your Tuesday and Wednesday. Now you're heading into a two-day Fed meeting, right? And one thing that we've been pretty consistent in saying is that if the market acts too bad, then it might soften the hawkish tone coming out of the Fed. Also, what you have to realize is that the wealth effect is in fact neutralized, right, by the market coming down. People have less money, they're going to spend less money. So just like the market kept on urging them, you know, to raise rates, maybe the market is putting in some deflationary pressures too. So small chance of a rate hike. I think they'll stay the course tomorrow. And, you know, maybe get a, you know, because the market's been volatile, maybe get a little bit more dovish. But, you know, there's still a lot to be said of how many rakes, if you have Jamie Dimon, you know, 8 hikes. Jeremy Siegel, who I very well respected from WisdomTree, he's siding on that. So there's still a lot of unknowns in the market. And then you throw this Russia thing in there and you got a lot of uncertainty. And market does not like uncertainty.
Yeah, you can say that again, Joel. And it's really not so much as a black swan because it was more telegraphed, but it's kind of a gray swan in the sense that it's just one of those market destabilizing geopolitical factors. But as far as the rate hikes, I was wondering the same thing when you just brought that up, that now that there's been a shaking of the tree and the markets have pulled back some, is it possible that that's going to temper the Fed's directive? Like, can they really pull off 7 or 8 hikes like Jamie Dimon is suggesting? Or is there a breaking point where they get so many hikes in that the market says, no, Fed, you're going to have to cut it out there? Is there a breaking point that the market throws a tantrum?
Hell, I mean, you're seeing it right now, and there hasn't even been one. So, yeah, I mean, we got to, you know, it's just such a weird, you know, a weird situation. You know, you had, you know, your causes of the 99-2000 tech bubble, you had the financial crisis. The pandemic is something that no one can really figure into in the economic models. So, you know, it will just see, you know, how much the market tanks and how much, you know, juice it takes out of the economy. If unemployment rates start rising, you know, then they might put on the brakes. But I just think there's so much debt out there. There's so much U.S. debt that, you know, in U.S. companies, as well as the federal government, that, you know, you start bumping rates like that, well, you're putting more pressure on the earnings of some of these tech companies, and you're increasing their cost of doing business. So, man, I don't even know if we'll get the 4. They're talking 8. I just don't see it without crippling the economy and absolutely just busting this market back down. I don't even know how low we could go with 8 rate hikes. But, yeah, I think the market is doing Powell's work for him a little bit, and we'll see if he appreciates it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what his tone is like at the meetings over the next 2 days. But there is one sector that generally benefits from a rate hiking cycle, and that is the financial sector. I know that you play in that pool a little bit, and you're looking at some of the financial stocks and some of the payment stocks. Which ones have your attention, and what are you looking at with the financial sector?
Yeah, the financial sector, and that's something I got. I've been keeping my eye on J.P. Morgan. Just absolutely just annihilated after, you know, it was a mixed report. They missed on sales, which was not good, but they've taken 25-26% off the stock. So I'm looking, and that started, you know, kind of led the market down. So I'm looking at JP Morgan, Bank America. That's also had a much bigger haircut than the market. So I'm looking at those. I'm also looking, you know, at some of these payment stocks, Square and PayPal. 2-for-1 stock split on Square, PayPal also. I mean, their valuations are still high, you know, on a relative basis. But if you start to think about it, the payment system, you know, and I don't know if Bitcoin is the cure-all or whatever, but, you know, you certainly see the transfer from, you know, fiat dollars to electronic payments. I see Square recently started operations in Spain. So I think that's a longer-term trend that could persist. So those are some areas that I've been looking at on the decline.
Well, you brought up Bitcoin there in the crypto sphere. What do you make of the recent rout? We heard for the longest time, Joel, that the Bitcoin was the best inflation hedge out there. And then we saw a high CPI reading in November of 6.8% and December of 7%. And during November and December and into January, Bitcoin basically got chopped in half. So that kind of throws a wet blanket all over the idea that it's a inflation hedge. But what do you make of the move in Bitcoin? And how do you think that it's trading in light of all this backdrop of the Fed raising rates?
That's good. It's an inflation hedge. I think that you just have to look at Bitcoin the way you look at, you know, some of these high PE and growth stocks, right? Like the valuation. You know, the value of, you know, Bitcoin is really a great puzzle. So it's traded. It's I don't see it being used in everyday currency. I think the other thing with Bitcoin is, you know, they introduced those ETFs at the absolute worst time. So they got Joe Public, just flushed them in at the top. And, you know, it's hard to say whether, you know, it's a correction. You know, it's definitely off 10%, depending on what currency you look, you know, 50% off its high. So, you know, you just can't say it's dead because it gets all these bounces. I think I'd get more interested in it. I know Bitcoin people don't want to hear this, you know, but 20,000 was a key level. That was the high in 18, cratered down under 10. And when it, you know, finally broke over 20, where things got interested on a monthly basis, it didn't quite get to the 30,000, 31,000 level that I was looking at. So, you know, you can call it what you want, but, you know, it's certainly not the inflation hedge that everyone perceived it to be. And it's definitely not the, at least at this point, it's like not the new economy. And, you know, how many transactions have you done in Bitcoin in the last week? So that's why I look at it. I'm sure that's not what your Bitcoin bulls want to hear, but that's looking at the price action and also the fundamentals.
That makes sense, Joel, and it does seem to be trading not like a inflation hedge, not like a store of value, because a store of value wouldn't drop by 50% in 2 months, but it does seem to trade like a tech stock, and it does seem to mirror some of the movements we've seen in the growth stocks, in particular, stocks like what you would find in the ARK Innovation Fund by Cathie Woods. You know, it seems to have that same kind of pattern, but because growth stocks have pulled back so much now, do you think they're getting to an attractive technical level where people may play them for a bounce?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned the Square and the PayPal, right? It's the, two of the stocks in that arena. Kathy, it made a low yesterday at $65. It's holding up just above 65. It's holding up pretty well today. 64.98 was actually the low yesterday. And that coincides with actually no monthly lows. So I'm not seeing on a monthly basis that, that would, say, hey, a double bottom on a monthly chart, but definitely below your July low of last year and well above your June low. So, maybe if you can drill down on the dailies on it, it's a level to lean on. Today, you did get as high as almost $73. So that's a 7-point move off the low, 3.5. Yeah, you get me interested in 67.5, 68, and lean on that 64.98 low. But, if you're going to do those kind of trades and you're going to try and pick the bottoms, obviously you got a lot of room on the upside if it starts to retrace the move. But you also just have to be cognizant that there's a lot of people smoked in this thing. And it ain't going to go up like the way it did in 20. And that's just something that when you're buying the dips on these kind of stocks, it's just something that you got to be cognizant of the overhead supply.
Great point, Joel, and it's good to have a little bit of caution when you're trying to catch a falling knife, as they say. But just one other area just to focus on, and that would be the safe havens. We see the market getting shaken a little bit. We see these geopolitical tensions. We see a lot of concern about the Fed rate hiking cycle. But with so much red on the screen, there's a few areas of green. The dollar has been up, getting a safe haven bid. Gold has been up at least the last couple of days. Not much, but a little bit in the green. And bonds have got a bid. Do you think we're going to see more of that as 2022 unfolds here? That maybe there's a few more traders hedging their bets with a few safe havens?
Well, yeah, we could talk about gold on a, on a positive note, and how we've put 1800 in, at least in the rear view mirror for now, that important resistance area of 1840. We're trying to build support there. So that's good. So gold has definitely been performing, and I like the way it's trading technically. And then the other thing you alluded to, and once again, just harking back to when we were on with Jeremy Schwartz this morning, these dividend-paying stocks, that have pricing power. You look at some of your dividend ETFs, and people want to get paid. Well, maybe you're just getting paid to keep up with the rate of inflation, but at least you're getting a head start on that. And then if you get some capital appreciation, then that's all, that's all good and well. So it's surprisingly that those stocks are holding up. Your AT&T has gotten off the mat after hitting $22. Verizon, that's well off its low. So it's a surprising market. You would think with interest rates going up, that people would be, this would be a place that people are pivoting away from, but that's not the case.
Well, I think that's a solid point, Joel. We'll wrap it up there. But sometimes the best place to hide is the dividend-paying stocks. They're defensive by nature. You get paid to wait. And if they're companies that have pricing power, like you mentioned, they can navigate the crazy waters of inflation that we're seeing. So it makes sense to be with strong companies that have pricing power and maybe get paid a little dividend while you wait out the storm. So we always appreciate getting your thoughts here on the KE Report, Joel. And if people like Joel's thoughts, please check him out on premarketprep.com. We'll put a link to that down below. And again, thanks for spending some time with us here at the KE Report.
Okay, Chad, thanks for having me, and hope to get back with you and Corey next week.